Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration today is written on Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 5. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. So far the text. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, dearly beloved of God, it's hard to believe that 3 years have elapsed on the calendar since the height of the COVID pandemic. It's certainly good to see how things have simmered down on the COVID front. It's now an exception to see people wearing masks when you go to the grocery store. And shuttering of businesses has, for the most part, ceased. And social distancing guidelines are no longer necessary to observe. There's one repercussion of the pandemic, however, that's still being felt. And there are, sadly, quite a number of businesses that have had to close their doors. One example might be the Boston Market store located a couple miles north on Wadsworth. Apparently wasn't able to make a go of it. Too bad, because in my opinion, they had really good food. I guess I'll have to make another choice if I have a hankering for rotisserie chicken. Isn't it good as Christians to know that there is an eating place that we can be certain will never be closed, where we can always enjoy the items that are on the menu? I'm not referring to places like Applebee's or Denny's or Domino's, but to the restaurant that our Heavenly Father has made ready for His customers in His Word for the feeding of our souls. And that is the theme of today's sermon. Come, come to God's rich banquet meal for souls. It's free, it's satisfying, and it's what the Lord uses to make us His people. Now, the imagery that Isaiah was inspired by the Holy Spirit to make use of in our text to present these precious truths is very, very beautiful and quite interesting. He pictures the Lord our God as a businessman entrepreneur who is putting up his wares for sale at a market. And he, the Lord, the businessman merchant, extends an invitation to anyone, to everyone, come and buy. What are you selling? Calls out to all within earshot, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Similar to like a stadium concession vendor at a ball game as he walks up and down the aisles. Get your peanuts, cold drinks here. Now, the items that the merchant God has put up for sale, we'll talk about in a moment, and why they're so precious. The detail that we want to highlight to begin with, however, is the fact that our God calls out to us, his customers, to come and buy what he's put up for sale for free. Come and buy without money and without cost, he says. I understand that there's a promotional event coming up on the calendar at Coors Field this Saturday. 30th anniversary Todd Helton jerseys are going to be given away to the first 17,000 fans. Pretty neat offer, especially if you were a Todd Helton fan back in the day. Now imagine if there were an offer that on such and such a date, you can come to Coors Ballpark and the price of admission will be free, and all the food and drinks will be free, peanuts, cotton candy, soft drinks, and beer, no charge. Wouldn't that be grand? I think they'd have a sellout. Of course, I don't imagine that's going to happen anytime soon. But now think and marvel as Christians that our God has extended to all of us such an offer for our souls. In fact, to all people of the world, every race, skin color, culture, says, come enjoy the blessings I offer you for your everlasting happiness in my word, which all the money in the world are not able to purchase. Free for the taking, for Jesus' sake. What a gracious God we have who extends to us that offer. So what are the items that he's put up for sale, free for the taking? Pictures them to us in our text as water, wine, and milk, as well as some unspecified items that he describes as the richest of fare, a veritable smorgasbord of delectable, truly satisfying food for our souls. We might wonder why the Lord, through Isaiah, pictures the blessings of the gospel to us in this particular way. We'll just think about it for a moment. Water, something that we can't get along without. Try going one day or two without drinking any water, see how you feel. Well, not really, don't try it. Nutritionists, you maybe heard, they recommend that we drink at least 8 8-ounce glasses of water every day. That's a half a gallon. Because our bodies need water to stay energized and refreshed. So it's a very apt picture for God's word because it's essential for the refreshment of our souls and our spirits. The Lord uses the good news message of Christ, our Savior, to help us maintain our spiritual vitality in the dry desert of a godless world where we encounter on a daily basis things that have a way of draining our spirits, causing us to feel parched, especially the sense of our sin guilt. Recall Jesus' visit with the woman at Jacob's well at Sychar, that woman who was laboring under the load of her sin guilt with a parched spirit. And Jesus told her, everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become a spring of water within him, welling up unto eternal life. And then the lady went away from the well, leaving behind her water pot in great joy, happy as a lark with her inner spirit, refreshed by Jesus. So water, that's a great picture for the gospel. Wine, another apt illustration of the words of eternal life in Christ that Jesus shares with us in Holy Scripture. Just think about when you have a glass of wine or sherry or Chardonnay with a meal, maybe a Thanksgiving dinner, or when you go out to a fancy restaurant or with your evening meal. How does it make you feel? Cheerful. In fact, there's a Bible passage in the Psalms that says as much. Wine gladdens the heart of a man, Psalm 104. Wine is frequently served also in conjunction with happy occasions, right? Wedding receptions, holiday gatherings, when people congregate to have a good time together in company with each other. And so too, the wine of God's word, which we drink in with our ears and with our hearts, the Lord uses to fill us with a deep down cheerfulness, gladness, by assuring us our sins are forgiven and that eternal life is ours because Christ took upon himself our sin guilt when he died on the cross. And having done that and made us his own by faith, he will continue to guide us reliably and provide for us and be our protector throughout our days. Milk, another apt picture for God's word. Just as milk provides infants with nourishment for their growth and development, so the word that we imbibe with our ears and digest with our hearts, which we read and study and ponder, the Lord uses to nurture and keep our faith strong and bless us with the ability to fend off the lethal viruses which the unbelieving world would use to infect us. It's godless ideas and ideologies and philosophies. It's why the Lord, through the Apostle Peter, counsels us in his first letter, like newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow thereby, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. In this food and drink for the soul, which the Lord has provided, milk, wine, water, truly satisfying. That's in contrast to the imitation bread that looks appealing on the outside but offers no relief from hunger of the soul, the teaching that lies at the heart of many of the world religions, for example, that to achieve right standing with God, you have to measure up to his holy standards by living a good and holy life. You know, if that were true, just think about it, you could never know whether you've done enough, whether you've satisfied God's righteous demands. Imbibing that kind of a meal spiritually would be like eating and eating and eating and never getting full. Real life illustration of that, I think I've told this story before, when I lived in Texas, served as pastor of our church in Dallas. The UPS delivery man who came to the door to drop off a package at the church, we got into a religious discussion, got to know him over the months because he would make quite a few deliveries. And along the way of our brief talk, he mentioned to me that he was suffering from spiritual burnout because he had been taught by his religious leaders that to get right with God, you need to do a better job of obeying his commandments. And he was afraid, he was fearful that he had not done enough. Feeling emotionally drained, he said. Like Sisyphus, that Greek mythological figure, king of Corinth, who as punishment for his sins was consigned by the gods to the task of rolling a big boulder to the top of a hill, only to watch it roll back down every time. And he kept doing this over and over again without any success. It's because the Lord Jesus wants us to be at peace in our souls that he came here and he accomplished for us what we could not do ourselves. He served as our Savior by keeping the laws of God in our stead, all our missteps, all of our failures, atoning for them, and taking our sin burden upon himself and making good for them by pouring out his holy blood on the cross. And now he simply invites us to this feast for our ears. The good news of his undeserved love. And no one believe. It's wonderfully true. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that's the message, friends, that the Lord has always used and continues to use to make people his people, or as our text says at the very end, by which he endows us with his own splendor. This message of Christ is the power to salvation for all who believe. It's the message that he used to bring that woman of Sychar to trust in him at Jacob's well, and then that woman in turn shared the gospel with fellow citizens of Sychar so that they came to believe in Jesus too. This is the lavish banquet meal that Peter served up in God's name on Pentecost, which the Lord used to work godly sorrow and repentance and faith in the hearts of thousands of men, women and children, and men, women and children. And think about Paul going out on his missionary journeys and his voyage to Rome, the meal he served, and also the early Christians when they went out from Pentecost, shared with their friends and neighbors, as Luke reports in the book of Acts, by which the Lord caused the number of believers in Christ to grow by leaps and bounds. The word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed, we read towards the end of the book of Acts, or actually Acts 19. Today we're glad to hear about how the words of eternal life in Jesus are being used to bring the blessings of his salvation banquet to many precious souls in our overseas mission fields. Doors of opportunity may soon be opening, according to the last report, in the Philippines and in Pakistan. You can read about this in the CLC Mission World Prayer List for August at that online address printed at the bottom of the last page of the bulletin, or there are hard copies available for pickup at the track rack. And of course, let's never lose sight of the fact that the Lord has used the same powerful gospel message of his love in Christ for us poor sinners to make us his people, people who have been endowed with his splendor. That's why we want to continue to love this meal, to eat and drink in God's word with our ears and our hearts. We ever want to feast on his promises in Christ, by which he has made us his own, and by which he'll keep us as his own for eternity. And may we rejoice, yes, to know that this restaurant, this meal, which God has opened up for us, this restaurant, so to speak, will remain so for our soul's enjoyment always. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Salvation.